Hello and welcome to our reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we continue to journey through John's Gospel, asking the question, how do we love others like Jesus does? This week we're in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. And instead of just reading the passage this week, I'm going to tell the story from the perspective of Philip, one of the disciples. We are hungry, tired, and I must admit, I am starting to get a little bit grumpy. Jesus had been teaching and healing for quite a while, almost non-stop, and still people keep coming. The crowd around us is huge. I keep trying to guess how many people there are. 4,000? 5,000? More than that if you include all the women and children. Maybe with them it could even be 10,000. It is crazy. Jesus leads us to a mountain and finally we sit down. My feet are aching. And then Jesus looks at me and suddenly I feel this sinking feeling in my stomach. What is he about to say? Where should we buy bread for these people to eat? All of us take a sharp intake of breath. I'm stunned. What is he asking? Is he really suggesting that we attempt to feed all these people? We'll never be able to buy enough to give all of them even just one mouthful of bread. And I doubt there'd even be enough bread locally anyway. I can hear the other disciples murmuring and shifting awkwardly. I can tell they are glad that they haven't been asked the question. I look around at them, hoping someone would take pity on me, but they all avoid my eyes. So I say to Jesus, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. I mean, surely he would know that. And then finally, one of the others speaks up. Andrew brings a boy forward and says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? How far indeed? What is 5 small loaves and 2 small fish going to do? That wouldn't feed all of us disciples, let alone the entire crowd. But Jesus just smiles and takes the food from the boy and instructs us to make the people sit down. So of course we do. Jesus takes the loaves, thanks God and distributes it, going on to do the same with the fish. And then I just look on in shock. Embarrassingly, my mouth is gaping open, making me look like an idiot. The food just keeps going. On and on I watch as family after family take the food. How is this happening? I mean, I've seen some amazing things since I started hanging out with Jesus, but this is unbelievable. By the time everyone has finished eating, I have finally managed to pick my jaw off the ground and started to compose myself again. That is, of course, until Jesus says to us, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. But surely there's no way there's going to be leftover pieces. But I'm wrong, of course. We go around the crowd, getting them to put their bread in the basket. And I completely fill my basket, almost to overflowing. And as I come back to Jesus, I find that all the other disciples have done the same. 12 baskets in all, completely filled with bread. I can hear whispers and murmurs in the crowd as they realise what has happened. I try to pay attention to what they're saying. Some are saying, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. And I can hear others calling out, he will be our king. We will make him our king. The crowd is starting to get louder, standing to their feet as if they're going to march Jesus to the palace. I look around to see what Jesus is going to do, but he isn't there anymore. I search further, hoping he is okay. And then I see him walking quietly up a mountain. I almost call out after him, but something stops me as I realise he wants to be alone. So I just watch him as he disappears out of view. So that was my interpretation of John 6, verses 1 to 15, from the perspective of Philip, as he watches Jesus perform this amazing miracle. Now, of course, Jesus easily could have performed the miracle by himself. He didn't need to involve the disciples, didn't need anything. He could have called on his Father and food would have appeared from nowhere, or perhaps would have rained down from heaven like the manna that sustained the Israelites in the desert. But Jesus does not do that. Instead, he turns to Philip and asks, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" I imagine that it wasn't just Philip who would have been shocked by the question, but all the disciples would have been taken aback. How can Jesus ask a thing like that from us? And so when Philip responds, he is just speaking what I assume them all to be thinking. It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And then Andrew adds his thoughts to the discussion. He'd found this boy who had some lunch, offering to Jesus what little he could. But even he is doubtful about what good it will do. How far will this go among so many? When Jesus invites us into his mission, to share his glorious love with the world, sometimes it can feel like an impossible task. We might be tempted to ask, how can God ask this of me? It can be tempting at such times to despair and give in to fear and doubt. But just like he called to the disciples, Jesus calls to us to have faith in him and trust that he can do it. When we do demonstrate God's love to people, it's not by our own power or ability or love that we do it, but by the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. But God wants us to work with him and give him what we have so that he can do miracles and make our little extend to go much, much further than any human could achieve. The little boy gave his lunch, possibly reluctantly, possibly in kind of an innocent, kind of childlike way. And yet, that small offering went to feed so many people. What small offering does God ask us to bring? How can we join in God's mission? Jesus includes us, he includes others, so that we can be part of his mission. So God asks us to join him in his mission of telling people the good news of his love. But we also are to learn from Jesus and realize that we don't have to do it by ourselves. Just as Jesus invited the other disciples to get involved, so too can we invite others to join us on our journey of spreading God's love. I read a book recently by John McGinley, and he says that Jesus says that it is impossible to be his disciple on our own. The solo Christian does not exist in the New Testament. Jesus wants us to partner with others so that we strengthen one another. We all have different skills and gifts, ideas and talents given to us by the Holy Spirit. And God calls us to use his gifts to further his kingdom of love. And we do this best by working with one another. Where one person has a weakness and is struggling, another person can come along with a God-given gift and help. And we see this in this passage. Philip had no idea how they could possibly provide food for the massive crowd. He could see the need, but he could not see how it was going to be resolved. Andrew came along with the little he had, still not knowing how it would help, but allowing God to use his gift for the miracle. What is God inviting you to do? How is he asking for your contribution? And how can you in turn invite others to join you? It is an act of love that God shows towards us when he asks us to join in his mission. because he wants us to be involved. He wants us to be part of his family, part of his team. And so it is an act of love for us to also include others, because we are showing how much we love them and how much we trust them and see God working in them when we ask them to join in too. So who is God asking you to call to be part of your team? Who is he working through in the people around you? And how can you be partners in God's kingdom together? Amen.